Hello and welcome to the Canadian Baseball Network podcast. My name is Peter Bean, and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we discuss the Ontario Terriers of the Ontario Premier Baseball League, with their coach and 18U manager, Scott Vandevalk. This interview took place last year and was part of the lost interviews that we recently recovered. I'm pleased to be able to share this one with you now. Scott and I discussed the state of baseball in Ontario and his background in the game when we spoke. We also talked about the history of the Terriers, their alumni, and their coaching staff. Let's listen to that interview now.
All right, as promised, we have Scott Vandevalk of the Ontario Terriers on with us. Thanks for being here, Scott.
Thanks, Peter.
Now, before we talk about the Terriers, I'd like to learn a little bit more about your background in baseball. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started in the game?
I grew up in Georgetown, Ontario, playing playing sandlot baseball here, and it turned out we had a group of pretty passionate, young men that really loved to play the game. We played it all day long. And then we went and played it organized at night, and I got to play with guys like Gordy Burke and Curtis Green and guys that went on to do a little bit more in the game, and then had a chance really to expand my knowledge and sort of apply some of the stuff I had learned in my teenage years, apply some of that in the city of Guelph. I ended up playing there for a year in the senior inter-county and then eventually coaching their junior inter-county team there. From there, I've just sort of bounced around. I coached about 10 years in the junior inter-county. We were fortunate enough to win a national championship in 2006. Tried to take some time off, ended up coaching a Bantam team in Georgetown with Bill Bykowski and Bob Elliott that turned out to be another national champion in 2009. Moved on to the Mississauga Twins of the IBL. And then now landed with the Ontario Terriers, and that's where I currently am doing my coaching bit.
You've coached in a lot of different places, as you just indicated. Is there any one proudest moment that stands out to you?
My time in Guelph was sensational. I can't say enough about the city of Guelph, their passion for the game of baseball. It is so undervalued. To me, people just miss what a fantastic atmosphere that place has. The highlight has to be the 2006 championship. We're down 5-0 with six outs to go. We're down 5-3 with two outs and two strikes and nobody on, and managed to get it to extra innings and then to win it in extra innings at home in front of probably 4,000 people was absolutely the highlight. It was I have a lot of fun in baseball, but my time in Guelph, the people in Guelph, the coaches I got to work with, the players I got to work with, are just I'll cherish those years forever. And there are a lot of days I wish I was back there.
Tell me a little bit about your coaching methods. Something that you think maybe differentiates you from other coaches.
Well, you know what? I can be. Some might just say I'm a little too passive, but I can be passive-aggressive. I can have different moods on different days. What I do well, I believe, is I'm a high school teacher, and I teach phys ed, so I do believe that I can I connect with the young men on a different level in terms of some of their needs away from the game. I have great coaches that surround me. I've always had great coaches. I believe that having coaches that are smarter than me make me a smarter person. So we can handle the baseball side of things, but in order to handle the baseball side of things, we're into building men and helping people develop their character and their value base, and then going forward, putting in an honest work ethic, things that are going to help people get better, tangible, that will make them better as they go forward. And in order to do that, it has to be a fun environment. It has to be a place they want to come to every day. And when those things happen, you're going to have success. It is absolutely fascinating what happens when you give a young man a little bit of confidence. And if you give a young man a pat on the back, it is absolutely fascinating to watch what they can run and do with that.
wanted to ask you about baseball in Ontario. It's become highly competitive in the last few years. How do you feel about the current direction of baseball in Ontario? I know that can be a controversial question in some cases, but what are your thoughts?
I don't see it any different than hockey now. People want it to be fast, and people want an end. They want an end game that they can see for their child. They want people are investing a lot more money than they used to in the game of baseball in order to get their kids to the next level. They're really almost willing to do it now without asking the appropriate questions. The competition that's sort of taken over, whether it be organization to organization, whether it's brand to brand, no matter what it is, the question that people need to be asking, the question that we need to be asking are, do we have an end game for each individual kid? Do we have a plan for each individual kid? You know, when these guys are investing so, these kids are investing, and families investing so much time and energy in trying to advance a skill set so they can either play college baseball or play, or eventually get drafted. I mean, to me, at some point, people across the province are A, taking advantage of that, and B, not able to answer the questions of the parents, even, and maybe they're not even being asked those questions. But to me, it's just not. We have different leagues popping up now. We've got all sorts of programs available that advertise an opportunity for kids. But is the opportunity really there? That's the question that needs to be asked. Is it about each individual player? Is it about a brand name now? Is it about, is it about moving a child to the next level, or is it about paying the bills? So I don't know. That's a pretty vague answer because it is a very controversial question. I just know that if I'm a parent and I'm investing in my son's future, there's some pretty pointed questions that I think I need to ask, and there should be some pretty pointed answers coming back at me that I think should be easily answered. I mean, the numbers, if you look at stats, if you look at the players that go to college, you look at the players that do eventually play pro, if you look at the players that do get drafted, all those stats are available. Those aren't hard to find. But to me, it's a very difficult formula right now. It's a very difficult equation. I can't say that I think baseball in Ontario is a very positive place right now for kids trying to move forward. I think regardless of who you are, if you're talented enough, if you can play the game, you're going to move forward. But I don't know. I don't know if I answered that question the way you wanted me to.
There's no way that I wanted it. I just wanted to know what you thought about it. It's a question that I get very different answers about on a regular basis, as I'm sure you can imagine. But it's fascinating. It's fascinating how people's opinions differ, and I mean, it is controversial, highly competitive, an ever-changing landscape. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of great things. And it's, I don't think it's something we're going to stop talking about anytime soon.
I've had the opportunity to coach in a lot of different leagues at a lot of different levels, whether it be high school sport, sandlot, premier, whatever. And our organization right now, as we are joining a league again, but we have for the last 2 years not been involved in the league. The whole league idea of what we're trying to do, our job is to develop and enhance baseball players. And to play in a league, it absolutely, in my mind, takes away from that. Winning should not be part of the formula. Yes, there's going to be tournaments over the course of the year because that's where you want to go. That if you win, you get to play more games. And to get to play more games means more at-bats and more innings for your pitchers and more opportunity to field baseball. But in terms of what we do development-wise, if we are investing money in a program, if I'm a parent investing money in a program, I want to make sure that my child's getting, we're already behind the eight ball. I mean, if we're talking about Canadian kids, competing with Dominican kids, and we were competing with kids in California who are playing all the time. We're already behind the eight ball. Our kids need at bats. Our kids need to field the baseball. They need to be out on the field as often as possible. And I don't know if putting them in an environment where winning is important is necessarily going to be the right environment. The league thing to me, whether you're in it, whether you're not in it, we were in it for a very long time. We all take pride in winning. We love to compete. We're all extremely competitive. It makes no sense to me when it comes down to trying to develop baseball players in the small window that we have to get outside and play.
I want to dig a little deeper on that. One of the things I often get told about Canadian players versus American players is lack of reps. Canadian players don't get enough reps, they don't get enough practice, and ultimately they can fall behind their American counterparts. I would think playing in the league would get you more reps. So how do you see that as a disadvantage to players being in a league if they're getting regular game experience, competitive experience, play experience? Are you saying that it's better to spend that time in a more like one-on-one development environment with coaching and in practice, or not sure?
No, not at all. I think you need to play games. But I think when the emphasis goes on the winning leagues and winning games, then we tend to have the same people out in front all the time. Does that
Got
make
it.
Sense? We seem to have the same people out front all the time. First of all, we have to make the playoffs. So first of all, there becomes these must-win scenarios. And I'm sorry, I'm the same way. You put me in a must-win scenario or what is perceived to be a must-win scenario, I'm going with my front-line people. And then that's when we start to get bent out of shape. But if we get into those scenarios too often, then you're going to have, you know, there's 20 guys on a roster, sometimes 25, sometimes 18. I mean, they all need to be afforded the opportunity to get better. They should all be on the same plane in order to get better. Not every one of them is going to take that same path to success, and not everybody's going to receive the same opportunity. But they need to have the opportunity to pitch on a regular basis. They need to have an opportunity to face live pitching on a regular basis. In some of the way the leagues are designed here now, one of the great things about not being in a league is being able to control your own schedule. And being able to control your own schedule means you're not relying on another, you're not relying on city fields, you're not relying on, I guess some of the best examples we can use is when you go somewhere and you get rained out, it's a wasted weekend when you have such a small window. But if you're in control of your own schedule, you can make that up. Teams are closer together. You can make that up. We've also done a spring league where we're playing ourselves a lot of the time. But we're getting reps, and we're getting reps against really quality people all of the time. We went to another example. We went to Cincinnati this year, and, we set the schedule. We went to Cincinnati and got rained out. You didn't play for 5 days. I mean, that's a – at that point in our schedule, does it really hurt our players individually? No, but it's tough to – when you're set in a league and you're forced to play a certain number of games and those games are dependent on a lot of travel and expense, then, I don't know, there is a lot of good being able to control your own schedule, going places when and where you want to, setting your players up to play in front of people where it will really benefit them. Setting up your team to go play in front of coaches and other organizations that will benefit your individual players. There's a lot of benefit to that.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the Terriers. Okay, what is your official role with the team, and what does that entail?
Simply, I'm the 18U manager, so I make all of the baseball/lineup decisions for our flagship team in our organization.
Now, the Terriers have a long, rich history. Can you tell me about the beginnings of the program?
The beginnings of the program are long before I was on the planet. I've heard guys like Dan Thompson and Ed Heather talk about the Terriers being the Galt Terriers, and it's been an organization that's been around and then not been around and then brought back to the forefront, and recently we've had a really excellent, good, solid long run of success again, with a real solid group of coaches and people that really are passionate about the game.
What are some of the most notable highlights from the past 5 years of the Terriers program? Championships, tournament wins, things like that?
Yeah, we've done our share of winning. I mean, in the last, we've won the PBLO in the last 5 years, I believe. I've only been here the last 3 years full-time, and we've won, I believe we've won six tournaments in the last 3 years. But I think some of the most, I think the thing we're proud of is the placement. The placement, our kids are going to places that, A, they fit, B, they're thrilled to go to, and C, they're having success when they get there. I mean, one of the best stories, I think, out of everything, I mean, we just left the team that had, Cal Quantrill and Travis Seabrook on it. But 2 years prior to that, we had a young man by the name of Cole Perigene that was playing shortstop for us, and a switch hitter, and he was catching a little bit for us, and he ended up with a scholarship at Stony Brook University, and he ended up playing a lot in his first year, well, starting at shortstop in his first year, and then went on that miraculous run with Stony Brook that took them to the College World Series. So I think that's a personal highlight for me, watching that, and then just getting to experience, there's a lot of great kids that you get to spend a lot of time with, and you're on the road with them, so you get to really learn who and what they're about, and to share in that, the Seabrook experience and the Quantrill experience, and having, whether it's the university people or the pro people that were there watching. I mean, we were in spring training a year ago, and it was 26 radar guns going up every time these kids are rocking on the mound and ready to deliver a pitch. So that was exciting for everybody. Everybody was sort of turned to their right, having a look at that. So it's been good. Having a chance to work with Dan Thompson and Rick Johnson and Paul Quantrill. I mean, you want to talk about a plethora of experience. If you want to talk about a wealth of knowledge. And I'm leaving guys like Dean DeCenzo out, who's our third base coach now, Matt Stocco, who played in the San Diego Padres organization. I mean, I'm just reaping the benefits of a lot of great baseball experience and knowledge. So it's been overall, for my personal growth, it's been fantastic. And then to watch the players grow and watch them have success, it's even better than that. It can't get better than that.
You took my next question from me there. I was going to ask you to tell me about the coaching staff. It was one of the things I was most impressed with when reading about the program and looking at the roster. You've got some amazing experience on that roster.
When we decided, I think Paul always said it best, we need to become more like a private school for baseball. A private school for baseball means when you put your faith in us, we're going to put our faith in you, and we're going to get you better. And I'm sort of the guy that organizes that, but I've got, unbelievable baseball people. I mean, you can't find anybody else with the experience that Rick Johnson has. And he's our director of baseball development. He oversees the entire organization. Paul Quantrill, his experience is off the charts. I mean, and the way he comes in and talks about the game and his passion for the game and his passion for the kids. I mean, he's just done nothing but people have grown immensely just through conversations with Paul. And then you have the lesser talked about guys like Matt Stocco, who spent, a few years in the San Diego Padres organization as a catcher. So you can imagine what he's picked up in bullpen sessions and some of the guys he's been teammates with over the years, and he comes and sits on the bench, and he'll say, two or three words to the all game, and you're just shaking your head going, how did I miss that? he just gives you, this is where we need to go. And then Dean DeCenzo, who's been in the game, I think he's the second all-time hits leader, maybe third now in the Inter-County Baseball League, but there's not a guy more passionate about the game, and you watch him work with our base runners, it's just great, and he's just constantly on them all the time. This is what you need to do to get better. These are the things you have to look for. And the list goes on and on. That's just the, you know, the 18U team. RJ's coaching, or Rick's coaching the 17U team now. So if you're looking for a wealth of knowledge in a place that you know that your kids are going to leave going, okay, this is a baseball experience that we took a lot from and we were able to grow from, you're not going to find a better group of people, in my opinion, in the same sort of small pool or small organization like we have. We're very, very fortunate with the people we have.
What is the program's philosophy, the core tenets of the program?
The core tenets of the program, A, is we're here to grow your son as a baseball player. Two, we're here to find them a place where they can go next once their high school years are over. We pride ourselves on placing people, placing players in a program that, A, they're going to be successful long-term. That means educationally. B, that when they leave school, they're going to have choices as to what they want to do next. C, that when they get there as a baseball player, people will know that they came from the Terrier program because they carry themselves in a respectable and professional manner. And B, we're really about character building. We don't like to go around things. We like to go through things. We like to answer questions honestly. We like kids to challenge themselves honestly. If they're not, if things aren't going as well for them as they had hoped, and when they go through their struggles, because we like to challenge them too. We like to put them into positions where they're going to fail and they have to figure out ways to succeed. That's essentially what baseball is about. I would say those are the strongest qualities that we have as an organization. We really don't like to cut corners. We like to go through. We like to go through difficult times. We like to challenge people. And we like to build young men of character that are willing to take those, accept those challenges, get to work, and find some success, not only at our level but at the next level, and make sure they're prepared to do that.
Can you tell me a little bit about your schedule and some of the events that you attend to provide the kids additional exposure?
Sure. We spend a lot of our fall. You generally look at your roster. You know what type of players you've got. So Dan Thompson, who's been at this for a long time, who's really our figurehead with the Terrier organization, has a lot of great contacts and a lot of great ideas on how to make kids or how to find kids' success moving forward. And so he'll essentially custom a schedule for the roster that we have. You're always going to be in situations where you're going to have kids that have a lot of interest from places, and then you've got kids where you've got to sort of find a fit for them. And we're going to do our best to play a schedule that meets the expectations of all of our guys. So we'll play some junior colleges. We'll play some Division I schools. We'll play some American teams where a number of schools can come in and watch us play. Dan's got great contacts all over upstate New York and through Michigan. We've got contacts set up everywhere. So basically, our schedule will be designed and constructed around the type of roster we have each year. So we play a fall schedule of about 35 to 40 games. Then we'll play a spring-summer schedule anywhere between 60 and 80, depending on the weather. Our travel schedules have included trips in the past 3 years. We've been to Arizona a couple of times. We have a great 10-day trip to Florida for spring training. We've been in Cincinnati, Missouri. We've been in Oklahoma. Pretty much everywhere. We Rome, New York, Syracuse, Long Island, New Jersey. We've been everywhere you can possibly think of to provide exposure for our young men.
You mentioned earlier about some of the impressive numbers that you guys have had in regards to players advancing to the next level. I mean, I looked at the website, you've got like over 100 scholarships, nearly 20 major leaguers, 25 junior national team players. Can you tell me about some of the more successful members of your alumni over the years? I know you can't cover them all, but pick a couple of the ones that you're most proud of.
Well, we're speaking in a small window for me, so that's only a three-year window. Going as far back, Brandon Daly's still having success. And I know that's one they talk about quite a bit. Another guy they talk about quite a bit that I think has moved on to a coaching role is Chad Marshall at this point. Most recently, though, I mean, we're really proud of Cal and Travis. I mean, Cal and Travis were, for lack of a better term, a couple of string beans coming out of Bantam Baseball who really dedicated themselves to the game, really worked extremely hard and were, you know, there's a lot of things that have to go right for them to go from where they were in Bantam to where they were when they left our program. Paul was a massive influence on that, obviously. But these kids were just, they did so many great things along the way to get themselves to where they are today. Obviously, Travis was drafted in the early rounds with the Baltimore Orioles and Cal's at Stanford University. And there's a lot of things that people miss in how that happens. You just don't wake up one day and you're not just good enough to do these things. There's a lot of work put in behind the scenes. We have a really good conditioning SST program that the kids do, and then they spend a lot of time, not necessarily what they do when they're with us. A lot of it has to do, regardless of what program you're in, what you do when you're not with us. It's the dedication you put forth when you're not with us. In terms of what we're really proud of, I'm really proud of Cole Perigene. We've got some other names that I think you're going to hear again this year. And Brian Dorn, who's an outfielder at the University of Maine. Last year, I believe wholeheartedly, we had the best outfield in Canada with Kyle Fallheimer, Toby Hanley, and Jake Osborne. Jake's now at the University of Maine, and Toby's going to be the center fielder at Stony Brook University. So there's so many things to be proud of. There's so many kids that have achieved at such a high level. David Head was a great player when he was with us, and he was at Northeastern Colorado, and now he's moved on. But just those relationships, because we had a tough-as-nails third baseman by the name of Liam Wilson last year out of there, and he's now there at Northeastern playing third base. So many great things that have come out of my short time here that it really makes it easy to go to the park. It really makes it fun to go there and watch these kids grow up as baseball players.
I'd like to ask you about a couple of players on our 2014 draft list on the Canadian Baseball Network. Luke Tevlin, one of the ones he attended Tournament 12, if I remember correctly. Tell me a little bit about Luke.
Luke swings the bat like a man. Luke has got incredible bat speed. He's going to have power that's going to surprise people. He's a guy that's really come a long way in 2 years. He's an outfielder that's sort of converted to a shortstop, but he can still do both. And he's the type of guy that really puts in that effort away from the field. When we asked him, you know, are you interested in moving to the middle infield? We like your actions. And he says, yeah, I'll do it. And there's, you know, 500 ground balls a day that we don't see him taking, trying to get better at those things. But I think by the time it's done, his feet are going to work. His actions are already there. He's just going to become more consistent with his instincts, and he already swings the bat like a man. He's going to Binghamton University, but he's going to. I mean, every time we get out on the field, there's a guy that you can see him getting better at things. Every time, every chance he gets to perform, he's getting better at things. So he's a pretty exciting prospect for us.
Another one on the 2014 draft list, Mike Moffitt, who also, I think he went 375 at Tournament 12, hit 3-for-8. Tell me a little bit about Mike.
Mike's a guy that I think is probably going to end up as a corner infielder or a corner outfielder. He's a big, strong kid who's still growing. He has flashes of, you know, flashes of brilliance, flashes of really good things. He's the guy that when people walk into the park, they're going to go, who's that? So he's got that going for him right now. And now he's just going through that maturation process as a player. It can be tough on kids this age when they have success and then that success isn't there. And that's what the game is all about. This game is not about having success all the time. It's how you react to not having that success and find your way out of it. Michael's he comes from a really good family. He's got He's got a very strong character. He's very determined. And one of the things that's really going to help him going forward, one of the things that people are going to like about him, is that he really, really, really believes that no matter what situation or what game he's in, he has the ability to compete at that level, and he has the ability to turn heads when he's there. He's going to be a guy that when it all comes together for Mike Moffitt, he's going to be an offensive, going to be a very good offensive threat, and on the defensive side of the ball, the tools are there. He's just got to become he's just got to get a little more consistent with that, and we essentially our responsibility to him is prepare him for that next level and find a place where he's comfortable, because right now it's sort of my problem, but I'm moving him all over the place trying to get him into a place where he's comfortable and a place where he's going to contribute at the next level.
Something I wanted to ask you earlier, and I didn't, about the Terriers recruiting. How do you recruit your new players? Where do you find them?
Essentially, we just have tryouts. I mean, we have our tryouts. We have our website, and outside of that, we have the baseball zone is essentially who owns us now. So there's a lot of players that come through there. The reputation of the Terriers in the inner county part of this province. So that's the Guelph, Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, up through into London. That's where the organization had its early success, and now we've moved our home base into Mississauga, so there's a little more competition for players now. But you really hope that when people are doing their homework and people are studying where the best option for their kid is moving forward, is that they have a good look at that roster of coaches, and they have a really good look at, you know, the alumni that have gone through. They have a really good look at where our kids are going, and then if they can take that next step and go, okay, are they having success when they get there? I mean, they're going to be really impressed. Our kids generally, like I said before, they go to a place that's a good fit for them. They fit in almost immediately, and then they have some pretty good success moving forward.
What's next for the team? What's on the horizon for you guys?
Right now, a little bit of downtime, which is nice, but we'll start working out. The kids are actually, they had all their sports-specific training, testing, and conditioning last weekend. They'll be working at that up until just after Christmas, where we move back inside. We'll go inside until March break. Then we head down to Boca Raton, Florida, and we'll do our spring training there, come back. And as soon as the weather is finished, we have this beautiful new facility at King's Christian College that we call our home. It's a turf field. It's brand new. It's spectacular. It's an all-weather surface, so we have the advantage of getting there more often. We're actually the first organization, too, because it's all-weather surface. So we've got U.S. teams coming up here to play us, and that's kind of unheard of. There's not too many teams from upstate New York, Syracuse area, that have come up here before, but we've developed such a great relationship with them that their kids are getting their passports and they're coming to play us. So that says something about the relationships that have been built over the years. So we'll get on the field. We'll play exhibition games there. We love to play exhibition games against Canadian universities. Obviously, there's good players there, much bigger, stronger, older than our guys, so it forces them to compete at a higher level. And then again, we're in the Ferguson-Jenkins League as well this year, and that's we made that move essentially just to fill up about 4 weekends where previously we were doing our spring league. And our spring league was done where we just put our organization and the teams in play. So it's just an opportunity again to control your schedule, make sure you get the opportunity to play the games. If the games are washed out, we have a facility where we can just reschedule and go play the games at those facilities. So if we lose a weekend, we're not really losing a weekend. We have the ability to move it. So for us, we found that to be quite the advantage.
And that's it for this episode. I'd like to thank Scott VanDeVelk for coming on the show and apologize for the lost interview. I'm glad we finally got that out. I'd also like to thank the Isotopes for providing the music for our show and Effective Business Video for the production. If you have a suggestion for the Canadian Baseball Network podcast, please email me at podcast@canadianbaseballnetwork.com. Thanks for listening to the show, I'm Peter Bean, signing off.